Good afternoon. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. It is Wednesday and it's a cool day here in downtown Toronto. I'm sending you a warm hello from the Turnout Radio family. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Well, folks, coming into the space today, I was reflecting on the rhythms of life in all of its glory, its massive glory, the ethos of movement, the elements of flow, and the breath of creation. I know, some deep thoughts this afternoon, and I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to explore all of that and more with today's guest. Coming up on the broadcast, performer, choreographer, and art maker, Allison Cummings is in the house and is here to open up about returning to the stage with her new solo work, Bear. As the dancer and choreographer of the work, Allison guides us in this meditative journey through the dreams, ideas, people, and pathways that make up a life. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Allison Cummings. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Allison Cummings, is a performer, choreographer, art maker who produces her artistic work under the umbrella name Soar for Punching You. She is based in Toronto, Canada, and her work has been presented at multiple venues and festivals across Canada since 1996. She has recently been appointed artistic director of Moonhorse Dance Theatre, an organization that focuses on presenting opportunities for established dance artists over the age of 45. I am so thrilled to welcome back to the show, Allison Cummings. Allison, welcome back to Turnout Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, what a pleasure it is to have you back on the show. It's been some years since you and I have had an opportunity to sit down on the broadcast. So I'm thinking it's time, Allison Cummings.
Absolutely. I think the last time was when I did, it was 2018, probably when I did Exhale.
Wow. Well, can I say welcome home?
Thank you. Very nice to be here.
Welcome home. Again, so wonderful to see you. How have you been since the last time we've had an opportunity to speak?
Well, lots has happened, right? So 2018 was, I get that. So since then we've had COVID. I've had cancer. My son was a baby. He's 10-year-old. And life just keeps going. So many things have happened. And I'm 50. I turned 50, which is astounding. Yeah, so lots have happened and a lot of things to reflect on.
And I feel incredibly blessed to have this opportunity to speak with you today, because I'm always so intrigued and really moved by your transparency and your openness in conversation. And as I listen to you speak about the journey that you have been on since the last time we had an opportunity to sit down and chat, it does cause me to reflect on that word that I chose at the beginning of the show, rhythm. Mm. I think about that word. And you know, Allison, as a young girl, I often connected that word to patterns and syllables and in particular, arrangement in music. But as I have become older, the scope of rhythm has taken on a much bigger meaning for me, and in particular, the movement of life and nature, the movement of our intricate existence.
Absolutely.
And this flow of time. And so when you reflect and think about your journey, what does rhythm mean to you?
Well, I feel like, so obviously there's like the rhythms, that, as you said, like connected to music and stuff. However, like when you go through, like what I've sort of been thinking a lot about is how our lives have all these like chaotic unpredictabilities, period. We never know what's going to happen next, even if we think we do, you know? But we're part of a system that is in an ongoing rhythm. It's in an ongoing pattern of the way that the universe, the way the planets, the way the galaxies move are all timed. It doesn't shift. It's like a continuous pattern going on and on and on.
Yes.
And I find that when I think about that, and I think about like all these little things and these chaotic little things in our lives that kind of happen, that we're just kind of a part of that. So that's a lot about like what we've been talking about in the studio while making this piece, is that, yeah, like that we're part of a rhythm that we don't usually quite pay that much attention to, but it guides our lives, like nighttime, daytime, everything, like it guides our lives.
Yes, yes, indeed. And we're going to be speaking about the piece that is coming up this month in just a moment. Prior to that, though, I'm curious about what you just shared with regards to the fact that in this rhythm, this system as well that we exist within. Why do you think that at times we don't talk about our existence in that way, in terms of how it is that we not only move through the rhythm of life, but the fact that there is a lot of unpredictability? I just want to reflect on what you've just shared surrounding that.
I think that it's what's interesting about the unpredictability and people and like even myself, I think it's very scary to face the fact that life is unpredictable and we never know what's going to happen next. And I think that's very frightening. And I think as human beings, we tend to try and find ways to control what's going to happen in our lives and in our outers. And some things obviously do work. You go to school, you're going to get a job. You know what I mean? There's certain things obviously that you can have more control over. But in the end of the day, it's all really quite random. And you never know, like we just don't know what's around the corner. So I think that's a scary proposal. You know, I think that's it's frightening for humans to think that they don't have the control that they so desire in order to have So I think that's one of the reasons. But you know, if you think about like how teeny tiny we really are in this vast thing, it's just the perspective changes. Like when my perspective changed so much being faced with advanced stage cancer. All of a sudden, you know, the reality of the unpredictability of life was like, I was facing it right on, you know. The way I started to see my future was different. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, maybe that's, you know, some of the things that I had to grapple with in my head and reflect on. It just made me, and then it actually comforted me in a way to place myself as a very small bit of this massive, massive universe. Does that make sense? It's very ethereal.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. The fear that you speak of, that sits with me so deeply. Especially when I think about the control as well, that intersection.
Yeah.
The idea and the reality of unpredictability can definitely be scary. And I've thought about that during the course of my life, even growing up and thinking, okay, tomorrow I'm going to plan this and tomorrow I'm going to plan that.
Yeah.
And I recall, Allison, as we were growing up in my household, my parents always said the following: I'll see you tomorrow, please God, is what they said. They always said that, you know, when they were with family who are leaving our home, for example, you know, they would always say that, I'll see you tomorrow, please God. And I remember being a youngster and I went up to my parents. I said, why do you always say the please God part? I'm just curious, you know, because very often we will say, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it was a common thing for them to say, I'll see you tomorrow, please God. And what was explained to me was that is our way of acknowledging the fact that tomorrow is not promised for any of us. And when I started to really understand the scope of that, and how powerful that share was, that tomorrow is not promised, it really did cause me to focus on how precious every moment is, how precious life is.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting that, absolutely. And I think like COVID as well, I think brought a lot of that kind of reflection for a lot of people, right? As well, how scary that was, you know. But yeah, I found in the last, like after COVID, and because I was going through treatment when COVID hit. So it was really dramatic. since then I found myself telling my friends I love them. I say it more when I leave my friends, you know, I'll say, I love you.
Yes.
Whereas I didn't do that before. I don't know. Like I was more, you know, and for some reason I feel I'm much more open with my feelings towards people now. It's because you don't know, you never know when you're not going to be able to say that anymore, you know? And it's a very, I mean, like it's scary stuff to talk about, right? But it's true. So I feel like in some ways it's a great, as I said, it was comforting before, but like it feels very empowering to make a piece about something so scary. And to explore it with my collaborators, and to do so without being afraid to go into some places that are hard to go into or talk about. When I got diagnosed with cancer, it was a shock. You know, I didn't have a history in my family of breast cancer at all. And usually like there's a gene and it's passed down, and it just was such a shock, right? And it was a massive tumor. It was like the size of my fist. And it was like all down my lymph nodes. And it was just like, how did this happen? So just like within like 2 days, my entire perspective of my approach to life was just completely turned around. My approach to mothering was completely turned around. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like I've got a 6-year-old kid.
Coming this season, Citadel Live presents Bear. Choreographed and performed by Allison Cummings, the work connects what one individual offers to what they receive amidst the chaotic unpredictability of life while existing in a timed system of precise, universal patterns and cycles. This deeply personal piece is influenced by Allison's own journey through breast cancer and the reality of facing her own mortality as a mother to a young child. Bear is on stage from January 17th to the 20th at the Citadel Ross Center for Dance in Toronto. I'm mindful of not only the fear, as you shared, but also the comfort that mm-hmm. you spoke of. I'm mindful of that. And I wonder, when you reflect on the diagnosis and you reflect on life, on the journey of life, in making the work Bear, was mm-hmm. there a sense of control that you do feel that you've regained during that process?
That's hard. Well, one thing that's happened, which is really interesting in this process, is that I started trying to choreograph. And as we went along and as it got closer, I was like, this is not choreographable. This piece is not choreographable. It is based on task and moment and movement. And I know what I'm doing in the time, but I can't actually. So I'm also taking the control away from me, myself, which is interesting. Now, I do have, you know, there's some parts in it that are like, I obviously have some, I know what I'm doing. Right? I know where I have to be at what time, and I know all that stuff. But I guess I have control in the thing that I have the ability to tell the story, and the story is the same that I tell in the piece. But that's also about losing control over daydreams, like that you can't control your daydreams anymore. So I don't really know if it gave me back. It's given me, like, it's empowered me to sort of like really sit in my post-cancer body and how different it is, and how it moves different, and how it, I don't have control over that. Like, as a dancer, right, we have so much control over our body, but my post-cancer 50-year-old body does not listen to me. And that's really interesting. I don't know if that answers your question.
Why do you think it doesn't listen?
I think that it's doing its own thing. And I think that it always was. And that's why, you know, as dancers, like our whole life is about controlling our bodies, right? About, you know, controlling, training our bodies to do certain things at certain timing, you know, everything, right? No matter what discipline of dance we do, it's all, you know. And then in the end of the day, my body's going to do, it's going to get sick when it's going to get sick, right? I couldn't control that. Now as well, like it went through a lot, like chemotherapy and radiation and all kinds of stuff. And I just don't have the same control over it. It's been through so much. It kind of says, no, I'm not doing this, or no, I'm not doing, or I'm only pushing this far, or, I can still touch my toes, but it's just, or it's like even just the middle-aged body too, or post C-section body, right? Like all of these things that have happened to my body, I've lost all of that dancer control over. And it's kind of really fascinating to sit in it and to dance in it and be like, this is what it is. And I find that kind of empowering actually, to be like, you know, it's just my relationship with my body has changed so much after all that it's been through. So I don't know about, yeah.
There's something quite extraordinary about what you've just said. I recall sitting and speaking with a dance artist who was sharing with me that their body has been undergoing a lot of great change over the course of the last few years. And there was somewhat of a grieving process for them in witnessing that change within their body. But then something very interesting happened for them, in which they started to not only accept, but embrace the newness of the shifts within their body, to a point where there was a greater and wonderful appreciation for this new human that was almost being birthed out of the changes in their body. And so I'm curious, as I think about what they shared with me, have you found that there is an exploration or even an embracing of the newness that is happening with your body?
So I feel like it's a complicated dance, I guess, to say, between the embracing the newness and then also the grieving of like the dancer that I once was. You know, as I said, like if I watch a video of me dancing before I had a child and I had a C-section and all that, I can't believe what I'm watching. Like, I'm like, wow, I was just a good dancer. I was also a bit of a fearless, like I would throw my body around, and I was kind of known for doing that. Bruises and bumps and band-aids were all part of my thing, right? Now I feel like I want to do that and I can't, or I'm self-conscious. So I feel, kind of self-conscious in my new body. There's also like the lymphedema that I have swelling in my arms. So there's like a lot of parts of the new body, because this didn't happen by choice. I guess it never does, but I'm more reluctant to accept a lot of the changes, but at the same time I have to. So there's also that process of just allowing it to be and to dance how I'm dancing and to not be afraid of watching myself back on video. That's been a really hard thing to do, but it's also like, but then there's something that's so hard. There's something also like something kind of delicious about just being like, that's what it is. And that's what it's going to be. And that's how I dance now. And I'm 50 and it's okay. And, but I have a unilateral mastectomy too. So that's exposed and it's hard to hide it. so I think it's a complicated dance between wishing and accepting the reality.
Yes. And Allison, the work is a meditative journey through the dreams, ideas, people, and pathways that make up a life. And so as you're sharing, what is so evident is that the work is so deeply personal. It's a beautiful, deep, personal piece. What are some of the confrontations and thoughts explored in Bear beyond what you share with us today?
What we decided to do with my collaborators, who are amazing, Valerie Kalem is my sound designer and costume designer. Vivian Scarlett is my outside eye, who's amazing. Sharon DeGeneva is my lighting designer. But what Val and I decided to do was to really explore going into music and things that were really, and adding them into the piece that only I would have reference for. So as an onlooker or an audience member, you might not realize a piece of music has this, you know what I mean? Very, very deep thing. But for me, it makes me get into it more. And I think that that's a little scary because it's almost like sharing secrets, right? And in the piece, I kind of like put it all out on stage. I just kind of go like, these are my secrets. And I'm a person. And these are all the secrets that have gotten me here. So that's a little bit frightening, but it's also kind of exciting because I think personal work can be very tricky to do because it can, I find sometimes like if I'm doing something so personal, I'm like, well, how am I alienating an audience if I'm doing something, or am I self-indulgent? Like, what am I doing? But at the same time, I feel like now at this time, I want to hear people's personal stories. Like, I want to relate to people. I want to know that other people have been through cancer or are solo parents or have some or like the Grateful Dead. Like, I just like the same music as me or like another type of music so much that their whole youth was wrapped around it. And I may not know it, but I want to know about it. I feel like all these things like we carry in ourselves. These little things that kind of make up who we become, and all these tiny details, people like that have gone in and out of our lives. That I'm always fascinated by when I meet somebody and they're like, "Oh, I remember you from many, many years ago," and I remember this, and I'm like, "Go away!" I'm like, I always forget that people also remember me, that I'm also part of people's lives. Like we always think about. Like how these pathways cross and how so many times every single one of us has been a life changer for somebody else. Every single one of us in the world has changed someone else's life in some way. And I find that fascinating. And it also kind of also speaks to the idea of the rhythm and the chaos and the unpredictability of it all. But yeah, so I guess that's, I hope that answered your question a little bit. But yeah, so I think it's hard to make a personal work, but I kind of feel like I'm 50, I'm doing it, I'm going for it. And it's, during COVID, I was going through cancer treatment and my surgery was canceled multiple times and they nearly told me that I wasn't going to have my life-saving surgery. It was a very chaotic time. I was the only person in the hospital. And I was the only patient in the hospital. I woke up from the surgery that when they finally did it, and all the lights were off in the recovery room except for one little light above mine. And the nurse handed me ginger ale and she poured me into a wheelchair. She said, "You gotta go. You gotta get out of here." And I just had like 7 hours surgery. So I was like, wheeled down in a wheelchair, and then Susie Burpee came and picked me up, and I was like walking. It was just totally chaotic. And shortly after that, I wrote on my social media, "One day I'm gonna make a piece about this," and this is what it is. And so the piece has been about just chalking up all those things that make up a life.
Hmm. Yeah. I so greatly appreciate you, Allison, in this moment, because I'm thinking about the many different thoughts and processes that you are sharing today, but would have also gone through in order to make this very personal work and then share it with so
strangers.
Many, right, with strangers. And so I'm also mindful, Allison, of just how beautiful that is, because when I sit and I take in, I observe, I witness a very personal work that someone places on stage, very often what I found my experiences is that there is a newness or a deeper level now of connection, because so many of us might have gone through a similar experience, may find what we are witnessing relatable, mm-hmm. or may even learn something new about our humanity, about our connection to one another, about life cycles, and so much more. And so I often find there's a rich beauty in witnessing a personal work.
Yeah. Yeah. And the common humanity, like that for me, I've always thought about that in theater and dance and art, and like as an audience member or an observer or a spectator or a gallery goer, really all I want as that person is to know that I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And so watching a work, it doesn't have to be personal, or seeing a or anything like that, tells me that there's someone else experiencing life and that all the things that it has to offer. And, you know, as people get older and artists get older, like the nuances of what they've experienced and how they show it is so, so enriching and so amazing. A lot of my work has been personal, I know, but this one feels a little like a bleh. but I kind of, it's kind of purposefully so.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Was there anything new that you learned about yourself?
I learned that I'm very hard on myself. I'm very, very hard on myself. And I didn't know that before. In some ways I thought I could be lazy. You know, I was like, oh, I'm not working hard enough. I'm not working hard. But I realized through this process that I'm very hard on myself. And that's interesting to learn. I didn't realize that. And it makes me go like, okay, so how do I move with that? And I'm not going to change my personality to myself, but like, how do I make that work for me? Right. And I didn't know that before, which is really interesting. I also realized that like, I really like working with people. Mm. I really like my collaborators in the room with me. I really do. And I, even though Valerie and Sharon and Vivian, they're all like have their roles, they're all of their suggestions and feedback is welcome for the content, for everything. And I really like working that way. I like everybody to have investment in what is happening. Not just, oh, I'm just the sound designer, or I'm just, you know what I mean? And it's fine if that's their comfort level, but I've always liked working with people, but I realize like, I love working with people and talking about big ideas, and I love it. I find it really exciting, especially like smart people like Vivian and Val and Sharon, like, oh, great. Lucky me. Like, I feel so blessed. Like, how did I, you know, attract these amazing women. Oh my God. But yeah, it's quite a team.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Allison, the work is entitled Bear. What is the inspiration or the thought behind that title?
Okay, well, there's a few layers. One is when I first started thinking about making a new solo, which was pre-cancer, I was contemplating on making a piece about becoming a mother. And one of the things that is rarely talked about is when you become a mother, you find a whole new relationship to rage. Rage feels very different as a mother. And I had an experience where my son had, he was having a birthday party, his fourth birthday party, and only one kid showed up. And I cannot tell you the physicality of that rage for my child. I had never experienced anything like it. I was almost scared of myself. I was like the anger I had. And I started thinking about how come women or mothers don't talk about this mama bear. I understood it when people said mama bear, like I understood it. So it was really interesting. So of course, like, you know, it was emotional, but at the same time, like when I got over it and I started thinking back on how I felt, I was like, that's new. I had never felt that in protection of somebody else in such a strong way. So that's kind of where it started. And then as we started talking and expanding on then another thing came in. This is a different thing. So my mother passed away when I was pregnant with my child. And a few years after she died, my father came and he said, oh, I have all these books. I have all these books of your mom's. You want to look through them? And I was flipping through them. She'd been a teacher, so it was like a lot of them were sort of like school related. And there was a post-it note in one of the books. And in her handwriting, it said galaxies. Just random galaxies. And I was just like, so then I started thinking about Bear and galaxies and my mother and I was with her when she died and like all of that. And then I started thinking bigger and we're in a constellation that we are in is Ursa Major, and many cultures refer to it as the Great Bear. So that's kind of where it is. It's the idea of being held by this larger system, rhythm, protected in it. So that's kind of where that came from. So there's a lot of layers in it, in the bear. But a bear is about, yeah, the Ursa Major, and also about being a mama bear.
You've mentioned what working through and creating through Bear, how that work has, what it's taught you about yourself, Allison. Mm. What I'm also curious about is, has it shown you or perhaps maybe even exposed anything to you about our connection to one another?
I don't know. I mean, because it's a solo, right? So it does feel very isolating. So my son's involved in the show. And I feel like there was a part of me that was like, oh, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then I was like, no, you know what? I feel people want to connect. They want the kid involved. You know what I mean? They want, and but kind of figured if it's, this piece is so personal about being a mama bear, then I need my child to be involved in it. So he's in a part of it. Surprise. And it's going to be on radio, whatever. But he did some set design that way. And I feel like there's a part of, I feel like in the room when I'm working with my collaborators and no one's seen it. Like we've had only the people in the room, like no one else has seen it. So it's a little bit like, oh no. So we have no idea outside of our own little bubble of like how it's going to land. But I think that like with my collaborators, everyone who's come in, like it's reminded them, or a certain part of it will remind, like Sharon was, you know, talking about something that she went through, a very, very bad accident. And that it was reminded of her, of all the things that the recollection of the processing she had to do in her head. So I'm thinking that like, because I don't know how it's going to land at all, I don't know. I'm hoping that people connect to it. I'm hoping that it's not, I'm hoping that it's taken as a generous, as something generous as opposed to like my own therapy. You know what I mean? Like there's always that line with personal work. This is not therapeutic for me at all. It really is like, I want to tell people the story. I want people to see my body now how it is. I want that to be normalized.
Yes.
I want it to be normalized that a 50-year-old woman who's gone through a mastectomy and is on stage dancing. I want that to be normalized.
What was it like to create with your son?
Well, I didn't have any doubts that he would be able to do what he did, what he designed. So that was really good. We're still in the process of creating what is going to be in the show with him. But he's a creative kid. It was very quick, actually. You know, I gave him a few tasks. I said, can you do this? Can you do that? And he did it very quickly. And he there's something really nice about spending evenings doing that as opposed to sitting on our devices watching YouTube, or you know what I mean? Like that we're doing that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then there's also, he's really involved in art. Like he goes to see a lot of art because of circumstance. Like I'm a solo parent, right? So if I get tickets to see a show, and because I'm an AD of Moonhorse, I have to go see a lot. He comes with me. And so he's become very discerning and he knows what he's looking at. And when we go to the art gallery, he has his favorite artists and he knows what he likes. And he's curious about what things mean. So in high hopes, he'll rebel and become an accountant instead. Or something really undramatic. But as for right now, he's a bit of an art kid. So I didn't have any doubts in my mind that he wouldn't be able to do the tasks that I asked him to do. So it was good. Yeah. And he's in rehearsal and I'm skipping school and coming to rehearsal and he loves it. And he even says to me, he's like, Mom, everyone's going back to school. This was yesterday. Everyone's going back to school, and I get to go and hang out in the studio with these cool, your cool artists. I'm like, yeah.
Allison, we were talking about rhythms mm-hmm. at the top of the show and throughout, and as you journey through this rhythm of life, mm-hmm. have you found that even in your creation of a bear and exploring bear, have you found that what you want to say to the world moving forward through your creative processes, through the work that you put on stage, have you found that that has shifted and changed as you've journeyed through your rhythm of life?
There's a lot about this piece that is imperfect, and it's purposeful. And I feel like in my earlier work and work before this last few years, that I was always trying to make the perfect piece and the perfect moment and the perfect this. And there's something about Bear that's very, very messy. And that feels more authentic to me right now. And I think that there's something about, and it could be an age thing too, but there's something about turning 50 and having gone through all that stuff that made me go like, I'm okay if I'm imperfect. It's okay to be imperfect. And it's okay to share my imperfections. And for everybody, you know, and to be less hard on each other. You know, these expectations that are so high of each other, of ourselves and of each other. And in way, I just can't, I don't, yeah, I feel like I've become more casual in the way I approach people and circumstances, and yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm not always casual, but yeah, I do think in Bear, I'm allowing myself to put something very imperfect on stage, and I'm kind of reveling in it. It's not too imperfect, but it does feel imperfect. It feels messy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. There's something about that embracing the messiness that almost seems like it would be freeing. Is that the case? I wonder, because I think about how very often as a younger artist, perfectionism was mm-hmm. a reality.
Yes.
For me, definitely a reality. And getting older, experiencing life.
Yeah.
The challenges of it, celebration of it, and experiencing the messy.
Yeah.
I wonder as I'm hearing you say that, Is there a freedom? Because that's how it's landing on my heart as you're sharing that, just this kind of like awakening of, oh, you know what? Yeah, life can be hard sometimes and messy, and just embracing the reality of that. Is there a freeing element of that for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, in rehearsals, like there's parts of the piece that I never ever do. I say, oh yeah, I'll do that when I'm performing. And when we just talk through it, I'm like, yeah, so I'll do it when I'm performing. And I never would have done that before. I would be like, no, I have to work out this thing. And I'm like, no, that'll happen during the show. I'm not going to put my body through that right now. And I would never have done that before. So I find it like I'm curious about what's happened, why my approach is that way. And it is freeing to not be stuck to this. Oh, it has to be that. It has to be this choreography. It's like, well, no, because that night might not feel that way, right? It might feel different. I might go too hard on one section, so the other section is going to be smaller. Yeah. So I guess that is freeing. And as a younger artist, I always put myself on stage, but there was always like the art, you know, the artist of the artist. And this piece is me. It's not the artist. It really is me. Just being myself for an hour, really. Flinging myself around a bit.
Yes. Yes. A look within.
Yeah. So I think that it is freeing in that way. And I think that I don't need to, as a woman who's been through the things, I feel like at this point, I'm like, it's okay to take off that perfect dancer, choreographer, perfect artist, amazing artist mask and be like, I'm just a person. I'm really just a person. That's all we are. Just yes. A person.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what I think about, Allison? I've been really considering and reflecting on the fact that we truly are humans, truly mm-hmm. are miracles.
Yeah.
And
we don't like, and we're not perfect, and we have bad moments, and we have bad days, and we have good days, and we get over enthusiastic and we make fools of ourselves. You know, and that's life, and that's kind of wonderful.
Yes, truly. In all of our glory and all of the messiness and all of the challenges and all of the celebration and all of our history and all of our rhythms.
Yeah.
We're these dynamic, incredible miracles that are journeying through life. It really is extraordinary to think about our existence in that way, I found.
I found myself, especially in the last few years too, is that like realizing, I mean, I realized it before, but like every single person that you see has this entire life, landscape of things that they've seen, people they've known, music they've listened to, places they've been, terrible things that have happened, joyous things that have happened. Like every single human being has this rich tapestry of experiences.
Yes, that makes me, it truly is. It truly is interesting. And it makes me think about something that Magdalene John, Canadian anchor, broadcaster, who I've had the pleasure of interviewing before, she had said to me once, and it still sits with me, that every single one of us has a book inside of us, Allison. This massive story. Every one of us, we have a book.
Yeah.
And so to your point, I think that's quite powerful to know. Yeah. Yes.
To remember, like when, you know, when you see somebody struggling on the street or, you know what I mean, or whatever, they'd be like, there's a whole life there. You know, there's a whole situation, you know, built of many situations. I think maybe looking at the world that way as well just helps to retain empathy, to always be looking at people with empathy. And it's hard. I'm not always as empathetic as I should be. And that's one of my flaws, right? But to practice empathy is by just the realization of every millions of people in the world have this whole entire life that is like completely rich and interesting.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Wonderful words of wisdom from Allison Cummings. Allison, it has been truly a joy, a pleasure, an honor to share space with you today. I want to thank you so much for joining me on the show, for sharing your story, for your transparency, and truly for the rhythm, really, the rhythm that that you have shared with us today. I'm so grateful. Thank you for joining me on Turnout Radio. What a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. That was Allison Cummings, performer, choreographer, and art maker. What a joy it was to sit down with her today. Folks, Citadel Life will present the world premiere of Bear, choreographed and performed by Allison from January 17th straight through to the 20th at the Citadel Ross Center for Dance. To learn more and to access tickets, visit www.citadelcie.com. Well, we've come to the close of today's program. Many thanks again to Allison Cummings and to all of you for joining us. If you missed the top of today's broadcast, be sure to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.FM, and some of your favorite podcast platforms where you can stream it again coming soon. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. Until then, I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Bloom Train.